While visiting my hometown of Deerfield, Illinois recently, I stopped by a lunch counter for an Italian beef. I encountered 80-year-old Barry Saffin, who is debating the diner's owner on a hot-button topic in Deerfield these days, affordable housing.
Are you making a living that you can afford housing somewhere close enough by? You have a car, you drive here, right?
Yeah.
You're supporting a family?
Yeah.
Many people don't have that. They work here, but they can't afford it. You say, they don't want it in your backyard. Well, if not yours, whose? Everybody has to do their part. Everybody has to pitch in.
I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm just talking to what I believe. There's too many people that get a lot of handouts, and they just work the system.
That percentage of people are very small. Truly.
In his younger days, Barry would not have been welcome in Deerfield, because he's Jewish. Today, Deerfield, a village of 18,000 mostly white residents, is home to a large Jewish community. However, it still struggles to roll out the welcome wagon. Case in point, a proposed workforce housing development known as Zion Woods that many Deerfieldians oppose. But Barry, perhaps because of his own experience, supports it.
Are we our brother's keepers or not? We're taught this from the very beginning. The concept of charity and an open heartness for those who can least afford it. If they're part of the community and they're contributing to the community with their labor and everything else, but can't afford to live elsewhere, and it might give them a leg up, it'll give their children a chance for a better education and using this particular area, I am all for it. People to improve themselves, regardless.
After lunch at the diner, I walked across the street to Deerfield Commons and interviewed several passersby about what they think of Zion Woods and why they think Deerfield is still so segregated. Most people I spoke to were unaware of a local controversy that made national headlines in 1959, a housing incident that had painful consequences for my own family. Deerfield librarian Dylan Zabagno explains.
Developer Morris Milgram purchased land. Milgram had been an activist. He had been purchasing land to develop as suburban housing, but with a difference, his developments would be integrated. When Deerfield residents learned that the housing development was going to be integrated, many immediately opposed it. This was an all-white community. A lot of people opposed it because they opposed integration altogether. Some people looked for reasons for opposing it. They said their home values would drop after integration. There was a smaller group of residents that supported the development, and they became the Deerfield Citizens for Human Rights.
My parents were both members of the Deerfield Citizens for Human Rights, as was longtime Deerfield resident and Life magazine photographer Art Shea, who described what he witnessed in an interview I conducted with him prior to his recent passing.
Well, one Sunday morning, a guy lived two, three houses up here, raised five children here, came around with his five children dressed for church, and he was in my war. He was a co-pilot in my war, and he had one of his kids carrying a petition. Said, do you, don't you want niggers to live on this street? And I said, what did we fight the war for? You know, how can you teach your kids that, take them to church, etc.? He says, you Jews, you're all a bunch of communists, you know.
And then this happened, just around the corner from where Art lived.
They just burned the cross Southern style on his lawn one night. In the night he saw the fire, and then they must have called the fire department.
Ultimately, the integration controversy was settled when the Deerfield Park Board condemned Milgram's development and built two new parks in its place. In 1962, about the same time as the ribbon-cutting ceremonies for J.C. Park and Mitchell Community Pool, my parents adopted their third child, an infant girl, whose birth certificate identified her as Caucasian. Over the course of a few months, the baby's skin grew darker. And when my parents began to ask questions, they learned that the baby was half African American. In part because of the racial tension left over from the 1959 housing controversy, but also because another Deerfield resident, Reverend Paul Bergren, received death threats when he announced in 1961 that he and his wife intended to adopt a black child, my parents made the gut-wrenching decision to give the baby up. I was adopted several weeks later, replacing the child whose skin was too dark for her community. I grew up playing at J.C. Park and learned to swim at Mitchell Community Pool, named after John Mitchell, who was the Deerfield Park Commissioner responsible for condemning the integrated housing project. Just a few years after my birth, in 1968, Congress enacted the Fair Housing Act, which civil rights activists hope would reverse decades of government-fostered segregation. Illinois is one of the many states with its own fair housing regulations. The state requires 10% of all housing to be designated for individuals and families earning no more than 60% of the area's median income. However, Deerfield is exempt from this regulation. The mayor of Deerfield, Harriet Rosenthal, explains.
Well, the state gave home rule communities the ability not to provide the 10% workforce housing that the state was requiring. So statutorily, we don't have to do that. Ethically, morally, we are trying to provide more workforce housing in our village.
Deerfield's home rule exemption translates to roughly 4% of workforce housing in the community, a far cry from the state-mandated 10%. But nudging the number north will require more than ethical and moral appeals. I spoke with a resident whose home is near Zion Woods. She asked that I not use her name because she didn't want her neighbors to, as she put it, come after her.
I think most people's concern is about property value, and I get that that's a selfish thing, but it's a reality that many people have to face.
If approved, the Zion Woods complex will be built on land owned by Zion Lutheran Church, where, ironically, Paul Berggren, the man who wanted to adopt an African-American baby in 1961, was once pastor. In addition to property value, opponents to Zion Woods have expressed concern over traffic and school overcrowding. These same concerns were raised by opponents to integrated housing in 1959. This is Deerfield resident Richard Sachs at a public forum about Zion Woods earlier this year.
It's my belief that the community is not against low-income housing, provided that it's built in the proper location.
Compare Sachs's concerns to those expressed by Deerfield resident Harold Lewis in 1959 regarding Milgram's development.
I felt sure that none of us were opposed to integration as such, or integration that comes about in answer to definite and demonstrated needs.
I spoke with Melba Sullivan, an African-American woman who grew up in Deerfield and who has a PhD in clinical community psychology. Dr. Sullivan explained what it was like being one of the few people of color in her community. For instance, how she couldn't find hair and makeup products at her local Walgreens. She also explained the difference between her parents' experience of racism and her own.
I know my parents thought that racism was people burning crosses on the lawn, because that's what it was when they were growing up, the dogs, the water hoses, the crosses. That's not what racism looks like. It looks like the real estate agent asking our white neighbors if it was okay for a black family to buy the home. It looked like people driving past my parents asking if the owner of the house was home when my dad was cutting the grass. It looked like my sister and I coming home with papers, notes from our classmates asking us how the fried chicken and watermelon were. It looked like my sister becoming prom queen and prom king with her black boyfriend, and every other prom king, homecoming queen and king were on the cover of the Deerfield Review, but not my sister and her boyfriend. My father had to write the newspaper and say, hey, why is my kid not on the cover of this paper the way you've done it with every other kid?
I also asked Dr. Sullivan why, given her experience and training, racial integration and diversity are important.
When you live next to a family that is different, you start to expand your capacity to stand with and for them, to dismantle the systems of oppression that affect their day-to-day life. And when you don't live next door to somebody who is different from you racially, then it is easier for you to dehumanize yourself by standing and up for policies and practices that like literally kill them and their loved ones.
History lessons are still being learned and taught in Deerfield. Deerfield High School has added the 1959 integration controversy to its curriculum, alongside more flattering aspects of Deerfield's history, such as how Deerfield's founder, Lyman Wilmot, allowed his home to be used as a stop on the Underground Railroad to Canada. And early next year, the Deerfield Library will host a series of guest speakers, including, full disclosure, myself and Angel Smith, the child whom my parents adopted, then relinquished in 1962. More about the series can be found at deerfieldlibrary.org/FID. For Illinois Issues, this is Amy Roost reporting.